If you have never seen The Memphis Belle, it's a movie about a World War II plane and its crew. Go rent it. Just a great movie. And that song is in there, Oh Danny Boy. And it's just tremendous. One of the greatest movies I've seen. I mean, men or women, it's a war movie, but you both like it. You really will. Well, Dr. Doom, Ed Dames, has just emailed me from wherever Ed may be. I think he's in the Ukraine. And he has given us permission to post his picture of his new soon-to-be wife, unless Ed is already married. I've sent it on to Sean, and hopefully Sean will get it up on the coasttocoastam.com website before we are off the air. And he may put it under the Digicam logo. So as soon as Sean gets back to me and tells me he's got it ready to go, I'll let you know. But it's a picture of Ed Dames and his soon-to-be wife. And congratulations to you, Dr. Doom. He's smiling. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines. And again, the special topic line is the good luck, bad luck line. That's 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And I wonder if a happier Ed Dames will change some of the remote viewing episodes that he sees, the kill shot and things like that. I wonder if he'll change his name from Dr. Doom to Dr. Happy or something like that. We'll have to see. But Sean's got the picture. He's working on it. And hopefully we'll get it up there on the coasttocoastam.com website. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. This is Robert calling from Eastern Tennessee.
Hello, Robert. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I just want to say you make me feel like a part of a really big family. You.
Well, you are part of a family. Thanks for saying that.
And I got a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of somebody being abducted who was gain time instead of lost time?
No. I've always heard them lose time. I've never ever heard of stories where they have gained time. So obviously you have, or is it just a question?
Oh, well, it happened to me. I'm not saying I'm been abducted or nothing like that, but it was about 1994. There was some UFO sightings over Lake Michigan, where I'm from. And I was on my way to work one day with a friend of mine, and we were taking a back road to work one night. And right around the time of these sightings, the car we were driving in lost all electrical power. Lights went off, the dash lights went off, I mean, the radio went off, everything went off, but the engine was still running. And we pulled over to check it out, and as soon as we got over to the shoulder, all the lights came back on. And we continued driving to work, you know, wondering what was going on with the vehicle.
Yeah.
But when we got to work, we were we arrived at work like an hour earlier than when we left.
And there's probably, even if you were driving normally, there's no way you could do that. It's impossible.
I know. That's why I was wondering.
So you would start, let's say you started at what time?
We started driving at about 9:30. We were supposed to be at work at 11.
And you get there at what time?
We usually get there around 10:30.
And you get there at what? At 9:30?
We got there at about 9:30 that night.
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, something sped you along. I have no idea what happened to you. That is weird. And all the clocks were the same. Everything was fine. You looked at a couple watches and stuff to make sure nothing was out of kilter.
Our watches still had the regular time on it.
That is weird.
I mean, yeah.
I have no idea, Robert. At least they didn't keep you. That's the important thing. Hey, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
This is Julie from Salinas, California.
Hello, Julie.
Yeah, Art's old home. And I'm calling to give you a good story.
All right.
It's been probably 8 or 10 years ago, and the Salinas area is the Salad Bowl of America, so there's a lot of farming going on here.
And how long have you lived there?
I've lived here all my life, born and raised.
You remember then an old friend of mine who used to be one of the television anchor men from Salinas. If I give you his name, did you watch TV news years ago? Joe Glover. Do you remember Joe?
Yeah, I remember him.
I think he's down in Florida now. I think he's a professor at a university. But then I ended up working with Joe in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Great anchor man. But I used to remember him telling me he was from Salinas, and he loved it.
Yeah, it's nice area. We have pretty mild weather all year round. And I probably even talked to Art years ago whenever he worked at County Comm here. That was way back when. But,
it must be, yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But anyway, we have a lot of farming community here, and a lot of times coming home to miss the traffic, I'd take the back roads. And I was coming down one of the farming roads, and I got ran off the road by a lettuce truck. But it was amazing. I mean, I was doing 55 down the road. The truck came on my side of the road, ran me over. I went to the right-hand side of the road. There was a ditch there, and my car was a little five-speed. And all I did, my car was ready to roll over into that ditch, and I screamed, "Jesus." I came to a complete stop in the middle of the road. My car was in first gear. I don't know how it got there. And I drove on home, and my husband took my car to the tire shop because I had bent a couple of the rims on the right-hand side of the two rims on the right-hand side of the car. And whenever the fellow looked at it, and we had to buy new rims and everything, he told my husband, he said, "It's a miracle she's alive because I had rocks embedded between the actual rim and the tires of the car."
Could have been in serious trouble.
Yeah, my car was going over in that ditch.
A little divine intervention, Julie.
Just a little there. And then on St. Patty's Day, I'll let you guess whether I'm Irish or not. My grandparents were O'Leary's.
I would say that you're Irish.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You got it.
So anyway, good talking to you. I'm a first-time caller. My husband and I listen to you every night.
By the way, did your grandparents ever talk to you about leprechauns?
No, actually, my grandparents on my mother's side, I never knew. I'm the youngest of six children, and I'm actually the baby. My oldest brother is 20 years older than I. So my grandparents were gone before I was born.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Julie.
You're welcome, George. Have a good night.
Take care. A friend of mine just told me that the folks on the NighthawkZone.com website posted a picture of a leprechaun, but it's that horrible gremlin-type leprechaun, that evil one from that movie. Next up, let's go to our good luck, bad luck hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing great.
I got a car accident story. On a business trip in Orlando last year, in October. Actually, just send you the pics. You can take a look at them or post them if you want.
Sure.
Driving, I think it was southbound, middle of the night, 1 a.m, falling asleep, slowly falling asleep. Next thing I remember, I open my eyes, and that consciousness, you know, like you're about to get into a car accident, that feeling in your stomach, like, oh.
Yeah.
And then everything is black. Next thing I remember, I'm standing beside the car. So this is a convertible rental from her. It's a convertible Cadillac. What ended up happening is it went under a tractor trailer, and the tractor trailer's got a hoist in the middle that keeps it up, stable. It crashed into that, did a couple of 360s, and then ended up on the side of the road.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't rip your head off.
Exactly. I'm standing beside this car, looking down at it, and the pics will show you. It's devastated. There's no room for me to sit. The roof has been torn off. It's just crushed metal. And I'm looking at it, and I don't understand what happened. It's just complete blackness up until that moment. And I look to the left, and there's a guy with a goatee, and he's talking to me, and he's looking at the car, and he's like, "You came out of that? That's impossible. Impossible." And then he disappears. And the ambulance comes, same questions, checks the blood pressure, etc. And the weirdest thing is, as I'm looking down at this car, and I don't remember getting out of it, the seatbelt is still buckled.
Now that's weird.
It's like somebody took me out of the car, made the accident happen, and placed me beside the car.
Are you sure you're still alive and you're not some spirit who's calling us?
Funny.
I mean, that's the first thing I'd think of. I'd think I'm dead. I'm gone. It's over. But where's my body?
Yeah, take a look at the pics.
Okay, get them to us, okay?
Yeah,
you know how to do that? George at coasttocoastam.com?
Yeah, they should be in your email right now.
Okay. I'll try to look at it during one of the breaks. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I would think that. I would think, you know what? I'm toast. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. We're the same age, and my oldest daughter is attending University of Detroit. I never knew that you graduated from there.
I sure did. 1972.
Do you remember Plum Street?
I remember Plum Street. I remember having Spencer Haywood, who went on to play basketball. He was in my broadcasting class. I remember a lot of stuff.
I remember Joe Glover. Last night they announced on the news that Bill Bonds is in the hospital. But, you know, I wanted to talk to you about last Friday. You were Dexter.
I wasn't Dexter. Dexter was himself.
Okay. That whole thing kind of really freaked me out, especially when you were talking about the way that the world was then. And I can't ask you anything about what is going to happen because you're not Dexter now.
I'm not Dexter. As a matter of fact, I had to listen to the tape to hear what Dexter had to say because I was doing my own Coast to Coast show at the time. So it was like a time warp thing.
What did you think when you listened to it?
I thought he was pretty scary.
I did too.
In some, but you know, it was interesting the way he talked about the fact that there wouldn't be any more money and that our communications would be in our hands, in our palm. And as a matter of fact, there's an illustration on the Coast to Coast website. Some artist has sent in a picture of what a future palm cast would look like.
You know what scared me was when he said that if anyone tried to resist, that they were taken away and then brought back after they...
They brain manipulated them or something.
Yeah.
That is scary.
It is very scary. But you know what I've been thinking about, too, is that you give people another way to think, kind of like what Dr. Martin Luther King did and John Lennon did. Aren't you kind of afraid that there might be some sort of threat made against you?
I've always thought about that, but I can't worry about that. I just got to go and do what I do.
You do it well.
Thank you. Appreciate you being on the show. Okay. University of Detroit, though. That's the old alma mater. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
West of the Rockies?
It is you.
Hi, George.
Hi.
This is Asmodeus in Big Sur, California.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am very disturbed that my good friend and protege, Slobodan, has died recently.
He has passed on of a heart attack.
He has. And he elucidated one of my favorite concepts, ethnic cleansing.
Oh, come on, you're nuts. See ya. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's Ariel calling from San Francisco.
That's a pretty name.
Thank you. And I've been listening to your show for about 3 years now, and I think you're absolutely wonderful.
This is the George is Wonderful night.
Yes, George is wonderful. But I just wanted to let you know that ever since I was a little girl, I've seen spirits. I've been very intuitive, and I've always had supernatural activity in my life.
Did your parents encourage that when you were little, or did they try to push you away from that?
Oh, no, actually, they were very supportive. Very supportive because my grandmother was also very intuitive and she was a seer on my father's side of the family. So it was never discouraged. But, you know, about 3 years ago when I moved into this one house, some supernatural activity started up where I would hear doors closing and slamming without anyone coming through the front door. And, of course, you know, the classic signs such as, you know, pillars of smells that would be present in certain areas of the room. And, you know, when the activity started to escalate, I decided to bring a priest to have the house blessed.
Well, that was a smart move.
Yes, and the activity actually stopped. It died down. And that evening, after the priest left, I thought I should retrieve one of the crosses that my grandma left for me when she passed on. And I was thinking in my mind, well, wouldn't it be lovely if I could find a blue cross, something that's jeweled, because blue is my favorite color. And I was thinking about that all night, and I work in a hospital. And at about 3 o'clock that afternoon, the following day, one of the students that was rotating through the department said, oh, a patient left this in one of the exam rooms, and she handed it to me, and it was a blue jeweled cross.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, so I looked at it, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is really wonderful. And so I left it in a drawer for about 3 weeks to see if anyone would come and reclaim it. And after 3 weeks passed, you know, it was too pretty to leave, so I thought, well, maybe it was meant for me. So I ended up bringing it home. And I don't know, I guess I overthought about it. And I looked at this cross, and I thought it was beautiful and that I should wear it. And it also frightened me at the same time. Thinking,
why?
Geez. Well, because I was thinking about it the night before, and all of a sudden it materialized, you know, the following day.
Yeah, but you've known you've had this gift.
Well, George, you know, the activity escalated so much in that house that I ended up moving. So when, with the cross, I thought maybe I should just throw it out or get rid of it. So I ended up sticking it in a cupboard in the kitchen.
Yeah, you can't throw a cross away.
Well, eventually I did. What had happened was once I stuck it in the cabinet, it was the strangest activity because the cabinet doors would start opening and closing on their own. And I have 3 cats at home, and Brownie was sitting there looking at the cabinet door closing and opening, and I thought maybe it was another cat inside the cabinet, you know, batting the door.
Sure got stuck in there? Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up looking inside this one cupboard, and there wasn't a single cat there. And it was, you know, it was a cupboard where it was jam-packed with pots and pans, so there was no way a cat could have been in there and not made any noise. So I eventually forgot about the cross, thought about moving, and then I moved into a new place. And as I was packing everything and moving everything out, all of a sudden a little voice in my head appeared. And it was telling me, don't forget the cross. It's in the cabinet. Make sure you take it with you. So I went and I retrieved the cross from the cabinet, and I was thinking, oh, well, I might as well just take it with me. So I brought it into the new house. And there was a lot of trepidation, and I thought, maybe I shouldn't do this. But I brought it into the house, stuck it in my closet upstairs, and that night, my 2 dogs got into vicious fights.
And they probably never had done that before, did they?
Oh, no, they grew up together, buddy buddies, and there was absolutely nothing that would have provoked a fight between them. And I was thinking, oh, my God, it's that cross. And I really felt compelled, and intuitively I knew I should probably throw it in a body of water. So I ran upstairs, and I retrieved the cross, and I took it to a close body of water out by a bay, and I threw it in. But believe it or not, I mean, it was a slight cross. It was very small, but it made such a loud, splashing noise.
Now, when you say cross, was it a crucifix or a cross?
It was a crucifix. But, you
see,
know, it was,
there's no way that would give you the bad luck. There's no way. I don't think so. It was something else. Something's in that house. Something's been following you. But it wasn't that. I'll be back. Well, a picture of Dr. Doom, Ed Dames, and his soon-to-be wife. They're up on the coasttocoastam.com website. If you will look for the logo right at the top of the page that says Digicam, just click that, and that'll take you right to the picture. And her name, of course, is Aliana. And it looks like Ed has picked up a little child in the process, along with the soon-to-be wife. The little child's name is Dasha. So Dr. Doom looks very happy. We wish him well. Back with more of your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Back to the phones we go. Wild card line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
calling from Wham Country up in Rochester, New York.
Oh, sure. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be talking with you tonight. Back to your whole global warming thing. Just comments from a layman here.
All right.
It's interesting that the Great Lakes are experiencing a very a significant lack of ice this year. In fact, almost no ice at all.
Which is very unusual.
Very, very unusual. And we're actually experiencing lake effect snow up here in the Rochester, Western New York area. This time in March, it's extremely unusual. And overall, just a significant snowfall shortage. We're about 20, 30 miles south of Rochester, where I'm at right now. And, I mean, we've had 40 inches of snow this year, which is a drought.
Have you had some precipitation though? Did you have a lot of rain this year?
We've had quite a bit of rain. In fact, again, on a personal note, my basement's actually rather wet compared to normal. I live in a very old house my great grandfather built in the late 1800s, and it's always been a little damp, but never this wet. So yes, more rainfall, but the snowfall's been extremely insignificant
because the temperatures have been so high.
That we had an extremely warm December and January. It's been a little cooler now, but I guess we're making up for lost ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you, what's up is down and what's down is up.
It feels very different from when I was a young man. I've lived here all my life.
It's a changing.
I think so.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Have a good morning, George.
Appreciate it. Next up, our good luck, bad luck hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Now, was your luck good or bad?
Well, it's a combination. It's not entirely my luck.
Okay.
Basically, when I was in high school, had this buddy. He was a bad dude. He had a motorcycle. You know, he was a couple years older than me. I think he was a senior when I was a sophomore. So anyway, we lifeguarded together over most of the summers through our high school years. Well, his bad luck was that whenever he took his motorcycle out, it rained on him. Thunderstorms would just come up from nowhere, which was pretty bad luck. You could never show it off. I mean, it was like a little, you know, Kawasaki crotch rocket. He loved it. But anyway, where the good luck came in was that we figured out, you know, when you're lifeguarding, the kids can't play in a thunderstorm. So if we ever wanted a break from work, he'd just ride his motorcycle to work and we'd be fine.
It was like clockwork, huh?
Yeah, every time.
That's weird.
I know it.
That is weird. We're going to have to, if too bad he doesn't have that motorcycle now, we could bring it to the southwest of the United States.
It's raining right now, and I wonder if he's riding around at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he may be. Thanks, I appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Andy from Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, good. Staying up way too late tonight, but, you know.
Yeah, hey, it's a weekend now.
It's worth it, right?
Yep, you got it.
George, you know what? The newspaper reads more like the Book of Revelation. You know, I know that, right? Weather patterns, hurricanes.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, everything's out of whack. I think we all know that. I just want to get your thoughts on where it's going, because none of it seems to be good, right? I mean, the world is in flux right now, and with Iran and with predictions and with New Orleans and with Katrina and with everything going on. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel, or is there one? And just want to get your thoughts on that.
I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because I think overall, despite these catastrophes that we have faced and these catastrophes that we're going to face, and believe me, some of them will be horrendous, I think that we will continue to get through all of it. And we're going to do it as a group of people who care about humanity. And in the moment when you feel as if it is your worst point of your life, that's when I think things will start getting better for all of us in a very different kind of way. I mean, right when these things are going to be happening, and they are happening now, but when we see them and realize it, we're going to think that, you know, there's no end to this stuff. But I think we're going to pull out of it.
What about chips under your skin and cameras everywhere?
They're going to try for that.
But we're doing that, though, right? I mean,
it's starting. The cameras are everywhere.
What brought that about? Was it the Patriot Act, or was it not when 9/11? Because you had a powerful show, and that you made me a listener for life with that September 11th show not too long ago.
I think what brought this about was finally the people who always wanted to be in control. And I'm talking about worldwide people. I'm talking about people above elected officials.
Yeah.
When they decided that the time was near for them to be taken care of, they're the ones that want to preserve their own lifestyle, that they decided this is the next game. This is the next thing we haven't been able to accomplish yet. We've got enough money. We can buy anything we want. We have the houses, the cars. We've got it all. What we don't have is the omnipotent power, the control of people. And that's what they have. That's what they get their jollies doing now. And that's what they're trying to do.
Are we at the one world order?
We're going to get close to it, but I
How
think
close
it's going to...
How close are we? I mean, it's pretty close.
I think we're 10 years away.
That's not that far, though, George.
No, not at all. Not at all. But believe me, I think we're going to pull out of it when the time comes. Let's go to our next wild card line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine.
Excellent. I got a question for you about Dexter Monterey.
I will try to help you with that.
Okay. Was the premise that you were hypnotized by Dr. Goldberg, was it?
No. Dr. Goldberg told me on a Coast to Coast program that the reincarnated George Norrie would be a talk show host by the name of Dexter Monterey.
Okay.
And he would be in the 22nd century.
Uh-huh.
And after Dexter, there's another one out there called Zio, who does some supernatural things. But Dexter came, I guess, before that. And it was not hypnosis, but it was what he believes my reincarnated version will be.
So who were we talking to that Friday night? Who played Dexter, or how did that work?
Dexter was Dexter.
And he was time traveling?
I don't know what he was doing, but somehow our astute engineering department was able to get him rigged up on the air, and good old George was still carrying his Coast to Coast show. I assume you didn't hear my show that last hour, right?
Correct.
So you were one of the lucky ones or the unfortunate ones. I'm not sure.
Well, six bushes creeped me out completely.
A lot of people tell me that Dexter sounds like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe for Dexter, that's a good thing.
Hmm.
But
well, one of the questions I had was Dexter ever asked when open contact with the extraterrestrials occurred?
I think he was, if I can remember the tape. And I think he said something about there would be no government disclosure and that we still would not have the answer to the UFO problem. And that was in the 22nd century, 100 years from now.
Oh, no.
If I remember.
That.
I would hope so.
I think the UFO, the aliens are going to take it into their own hands.
Yeah, they may do it on their own. You're right.
Well, they are already, when you think about it, when they're contacting individual people all over the world and just, you know, taking it out of the hands of the governments.
See, I believe we were seeded. I think they've been coming here since the beginning of time.
Oh, I agree entirely. I think we're kind of their creation.
Yep.
And I also think that what the Greys are working on is the next new improved vehicle for incarnation.
And what might that be?
Well, something that's a combination of them and us. It's like if they created us and, you know, going from Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal to Homo sapien, the next version for incarnation is going to be something that's possibly less violent, a little bit more psychic.
You may be right. I'm going to have to call you Dexterette Monterey. You're pretty good.
Thank you. Well, I happen to be an abductee, so I'm kind of
really
into this.
Well,
yeah.
Now you have got to tell us about that. What happened?
Well, I've seen UFOs since I was a child, and when I was growing up, it was always something we didn't talk about. We also didn't talk about, I'm also psychic, so that was another thing we couldn't talk about because people would think you're nuts or, you know, the government would come and get you or something like that.
Do you remember who abducted you and what the craft looks like? Did they take you anywhere?
I haven't had hypnosis. I would love to, but I haven't you know, been able to get, you know, that going yet.
And Goldberg's the one to do it too, by the way. He's very good at that.
Well, if he'd do it for free, I'd be happy to sign up. I'm kind of poor. I'm an artist.
I don't think anything's for free anymore.
I know. But 94, I had a number of interesting things happen. It was like a mini UFO flap for me. I saw several craft in the sky. I actually saw I guess it's like a Foo Fighter, the white light type of thing.
Like an orb?
Almost hit a plane coming in for landing at O'Hare. It was it was practically directly overhead, and the thing came, and directly in front of the plane, it went straight up.
But you have no recollection of what they did with you or anything?
No.
Darn.
Yeah, it's like snapshots. I can see the craft. One day I woke up with my T-shirt on inside out and backwards. I woke up with a scoop mark on my leg that hadn't been there the day before. Okay. And one day when I was working in my studio, I'd been kind of bitching and complaining mentally that my husband hadn't seen a UFO, and he's one of these guys that if there isn't an alien beer can, he doesn't believe in it. So every time he was out watching with me, nothing happened. So I'm working in my studio, and all of a sudden, it kind of came to me, tonight, 9:30. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't know whether to tell my husband about this, because he's going to think, you know, you're nuts, you're hearing things. And I took it to be more of like a telepathic communication from them than a precognition situation.
They just won't leave you alone, will they?
Well, I'm not sure, but they did answer my prayer, if you will. That night, 9:30, I'm out in the backyard. My husband's out there. I give him the binoculars, and practically straight up ahead is a triangular UFO.
How big?
Well, it must have been really huge, because it was fairly small through the binoculars. So it must have been way up
there. See, some of those, I believe, are man-made. And I've got some people who've been working on something that they want to let me know about soon, I hope. That will convince all of us that these are man-made structures. Now, they might have been reverse engineered from any extraterrestrial craft, but I think what we're seeing now are cargo ships that we have made. And notice that most of the sightings occur near military bases in this country. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Sean calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. How are you?
Hi, Sean. Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I just got a short story to tell you about a bottomless pit, and I know Art loves the bottomless
pit. He loves these bottomless pit stories.
Yeah, so I'll tell you it, and you can just do what you want with it, but this is what happened.
All right.
I was part of a religious retreat in 1989 in Cleveland, Ohio. I attended a boys' school, a Catholic boys' high school, and a part of our retreat was to select a place where we wanted to go, and I selected Daniel Boone National Forest in northern Kentucky, and it started out, we went down to Daniel Boone, and we hiked for about 4.5 hours, and we came to this clearing where there was a really shallow creek, and there was a huge boulder in the middle of this creek, and our guide at the time was like, hey, guys, just, you know, go swimming, do whatever you want, go in the water. So we proceeded to this boulder, and we observed that the boulder was surrounded by a huge, gorgeous, bluish-green pool of water. And at the time, we were thinking, well, you know, here's a chance to get, like, cooled off, take a dip. And it was a hot day. It was like, it must have been, you know, September-ish, and it was still warm. Well, several of the boys got up on the rock, and they just started jumping in the water. And before you knew it, they said, you know, there's no bottom. There's no bottom to this pool. Yeah, and this pool could have only been about maybe 12 feet, 14 feet in diameter. So here I am. I'm afraid of heights. And I get up there, and lo and behold, I decided I was just going to jump. And I jumped in there, and I dove as deep as I could go, and I couldn't find the bottom. And the crazy thing was that this creek, it spanned like 100 feet up and 100 feet down, but the shallowest part was ankle deep, maybe 18 inches deep. But around this boulder, we just we kept diving in, and we could not find the bottom. And it was just, it was amazing. It was an amazing spiritual experience. Like, if I could take anything back, I would say that this was like, not only did I find the Lord or find anything else, but it was just, I found nature. Like, I found...
How far down could you see?
George, I opened my eyes, and I couldn't see. All I saw was blue. Like, it was like, if you dove in... Say you're diving in the Caribbean. I've never been to the Caribbean, but you see how beautiful the water is there.
I've been there. Been there.
You just dive and you go down, and sometimes, like, with what you see of the Caribbean, you can see the bottom and everything. But there was we couldn't find the bottom, George. We were on a 12-foot boulder, and we dove straight down, and we just could not find the bottom. And I just found it amazing that there was just this deep, bottomless pit of water in the middle of a creek that honestly was only 18 inches deep, ankle deep.
Yeah,
when we were walking through it. It was an amazing spiritual experience.
And whereabouts was this again? Where exactly was it?
This was Daniel Boone National Forest. It's in northern Kentucky.
Okay, like, I mean, whereabouts, that's a pretty big forest, though.
It is.
So whereabouts, if somebody would be walking through there, how would you find it?
George, I don't know if I can even tell you. Like, the first day we parked, our guide took us, and we parked. We drove off the beaten path. We parked in a bunch of bushes, actually. And he said, this is where we get out. This was the first day. He's like, this is where we get out. And we walked we hiked about 5 miles. And we each had 80-pound sacks on our back. And there were rattlesnakes. And it was really exciting. This is the first taste that I had of nature. This was excellent.
Well, you had a great one.
Pardon me?
You had a great one.
Oh, yeah, it was great, and we just, and the thing was, it was really warm that day, and we finally got to this clearing, and we see this creek and this water hole, and the guy he must have known something, but he just let us go, and he was like, you guys just have a good time, and we found this boulder, and you have all these boys, Catholic school boys, I was only 16 at the time, and here we are learning all about nature and diving, but we could not find the bottom of this hole. And
I gotta tell you, what a story. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, but do me a favor. Would you say goodnight to the world for me?
I would love to say goodnight. I've listened for years, and this is the first time I've gotten in. It's such a pleasure.
Well, you
love
get a chance.
You.
Say goodnight to everybody. Go ahead.
Everybody, good night. God bless you, and just keep a positive attitude. Life is good. As long as you feel it is good. God bless everybody.
How about that for closing, huh? For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Rob Ismail, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDessouri and Punnett, and Art Bell, both this weekend, I'm George Norrie. Have a great weekend, everyone.